Today, Fed concedes inflation is too high, but gives no clue as to remedy. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. Yesterday, we had the outcome from the Fed's policy meeting and the press conference with newly minted Federal Reserve Chairman Kevin Warsh at the helm. It was a typically slick performance from Warsh, setting the stage for the wider overhaul of the institution that he'd promised before he took over the helm. But it was light in detail, despite a firm conviction to bring inflation back to target. And importantly, it's the 2% target, no ifs, no buts. Walsh ruled out re-examining the Fed's 2% inflation target at all at the moment. A target, by the way, which the Fed has failed to achieve in the past 5 years. But then he sidestepped tougher questions about how exactly he would lower inflation, as he vowed several times to restore price stability.
We recognize that inflation has been running well ahead of the Fed's long-stated inflation goal of 2%. That's been going on for more than 5 years. Persistently high prices are a burden for the American people. But the recent past need not be prologue. I am pleased to report that members of the FOMC are unambiguous and unanimous. This committee will deliver price stability.
Well, talk is cheap. This committee will deliver price stability. But Kevin, how? Walsh said there was rigorous debate before the Federal Open Market Committee voted unanimously to keep rates unchanged, holding its benchmark federal funds rate in the range of 3.5 to 3.75%. But the policy statement was less than half the typical length under previous Chair Jay Powell. Growth was solid, and officials also described productivity growth and capital investments as strong, but inflation is too hot. Policymakers' median forecast for inflation this year jumped to 3.6% from 2.7% previously, and their forecast for 2026 core inflation, that excludes volatile food and energy categories, increased as well to 3.3% from 2.7%. And officials lowered their median outlook for growth in 2026 to 2.2% from 2.4% that they forecast back in March. Their median unemployment forecast for the end of 2026 fell to 4.3% from 4.4%. The economic data flows have included strong jobs data as the labour market is pulling clear of a long period of weak hiring growth, and job creation topped all forecasts in May, and the unemployment rate held steady at 4.3%. But at the same time, the April report on prices showed the Fed's preferred measure of inflation hit 3.8% from a year earlier. That's the largest increase since 2023, and separate measures of consumer and producer prices also rose in May at the fastest pace in more than 3 years. That's driven not only by the Iran war, but also by price pressures spilling over from the surge of investment by companies building out the infrastructure for AI. And while there were rate projections on the central bank's so-called dot plot, there was one set missing.
This afternoon, you also received the usual summary of economic projections. It's been the practice of this committee for participants to submit these projections, and I have encouraged my colleagues to continue to do so. I, however, have refrained from offering any projections of my own consistent with my long-held views on the SEP, at least as currently structured.
He played down those projections from his colleagues, despite nine officials projecting at least one quarter point hike this year, with six anticipating at least two. Another nine, though, expected no move or a cut. I don't hear a ton of conviction about the forecast from other officials, he said, noting that many voiced a high degree of uncertainty about their outlook for the economy. And asked about the rate debate at the meeting, Walsh said the committee had had a good family fight. More broadly, forward guidance on seeing two, in line with his view that offering forward guidance on the future path of interest rates constrains the central bank's actions, which is in line with his nomination hearing, where Walsh criticised the frequency of public speeches given by Fed officials. And in a press conference after the meeting, Walsh announced five task forces.
Let me turn now to a few words on a key initiative that we're announcing today. I'm appointing a task force in each of five areas that are central to the broad conduct of monetary policy. First, Fed communications. Second, the Fed's balance sheet. Third, our use and reliance on existing data sources. Fourth, productivity and jobs in an era of transformation. And last, the Fed's inflation frameworks. These subjects are timely, consequential, and in my view, worthy of a fresh look. My colleagues and I discussed them with energy and purpose over the last couple of days. For each of these independent task forces, I'm enlisting some of the very best minds, both inside and outside the economics profession. They will be supported by subject matter specialists from our superb Fed staff. And they'll have a straightforward charge. Start with first principles. Ask hard questions. Examine current practice. Consider alternatives. And ultimately, propose next steps for policymaker consideration. Since last summer, my colleagues discussed possible improvements in the form and function of Fed communications. This new task force will build on that effort, and I expect propose some well-considered changes, including to the SEP I mentioned a few moments ago. The second task force, the one on balance sheet policy, will review the benefits and risks of the current ample reserves regime and the composition of the Fed's balance sheet. They will assess alternative frameworks for the conduct and operation of monetary policy. The third task force, the one on data, will evaluate new information sources and consider methodological changes to improve data gathering, with the aim of giving policymakers more accurate, relevant, contemporaneous, and perhaps most important, actionable information on the state of our economy. Fourth, the task force on productivity and jobs. It'll survey the pace, the reach, the economic impact of new general purpose technologies, including AI, and explore the implications for the Fed in pursuit of our employment and inflation mandates. The last task force, the one on inflation frameworks, that'll examine the drivers of inflation, first principles, and weigh the full range of ideas for delivering price stability in a changing economy. You'll hear quite a bit more about these task forces and this overall initiative in the coming weeks. Enough for now to make a simple statement. Each task force will serve an objective shared by everyone in the system, shared by everyone around that table that I sat with over the last couple of days. A Federal Reserve that is clear-eyed about its mission, fit for purpose, and focused on the future.
And he added that he's hoping for results by the end of the year. On communications, the new chairman refrained from committing to take questions from reporters following policy meetings as a matter of routine. Press conferences can be very useful to communicate with households and businesses, Walsh said on Wednesday, but when you have one, you want to make sure you have something important to say. On the balance sheet, the task forces there will examine the central bank's $6.7 trillion balance sheet to review the benefits and risks of the current ample reserve regime and the composition of the balance sheet. The focus on the balance sheet sharpens questions over how aggressively a Walsh-led Fed will act. Actually, Walsh has called for dramatically paring back the central bank's financial footprint, which ballooned under successive rounds of asset purchases amid the global financial crisis and the COVID-19 pandemic. At its peak, in June 2022, the Fed's balance sheet swelled up to about $8.9 trillion from just $800 billion 2 decades earlier, which, of course, has significant inflationary impacts. The group charged with reviewing the balance sheet will examine whether monetary policy is coming from our interest rate tool or our balance sheet tool, he said. Treasuries sold off with the 2-year up to 4.168% and the 10-year at 4.441%. The dollar rallied with the DXY at 100.51 and stocks fell with the S&P 500 down to 7,421 after the decision was announced. Following Walsh's press conference, traders fully priced in a rate hike by October and 2 hikes potentially by the end of the first quarter of 2027, compared with just 1 prior to Wednesday's Fed decision. President Donald Trump, who made a commitment to lower rates, his own litmus test in his choice for a new Fed chair, said, "It's all right, whatever," when asked on Wednesday about the Fed's decision to hold rates steady, calling Walsh a very good guy. 3 points to note here. We will see more changes at the Fed in coming months as those task forces report back, and it raises questions about the role and purpose of central banks more widely. After all, many have failed in their targeting consistently. Actually, Walsh thinks markets should be the prime movers in estimating future paths for rates, growth, and employment based on data flows, rather than them second-guessing what the Fed thinks or its reaction function. This highlights the conundrum where central banks take market forecasts, which they plug into their own models to guide the markets, in a weird self-reinforcing feedback loop. This does need to change. And he's also in search of better data flows and more immediate real-time economic indicators, highlighting the lags in the current systems compared to the modern practice in business to have access to more frequent and relevant dashboards, which is interesting given the heavy and delayed revisions which many of the current statistical series in the US contains. A bad compass is perhaps even worse than, well, no compass. And given he stressed the diversity in the economy, with perhaps the housing market being constrained by current rate settings, while the AI investment boom is blooming and would continue even if rates were higher, this might suggest a greater role for a smaller central bank balance sheet to curb momentum as opposed to simply higher interest rates. The bottom line is there are some big questions about the effectiveness and purpose of central bankers and their interest rate control lever, which, well, has been broken for some time. As for how this changes the rules of the road for central bankers everywhere, we'll have to wait and see. More immediately, expect higher interest rates for longer as the inflation forces driven by factors beyond the Middle East conflict continues. I suspect the AI investment boom has more to do with the current inflation pulse than many people think. And yet, this still has a long way to run. The question is, what damage will be done to the rest of the economy in the process? That is a big question indeed. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.